Luke chapter 1 and verse 8. Here now this priest, Zacharias, it says, so it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. The whole multitude of people was standing outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. The angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you'll have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Zechariah said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I'm an old man and my wife is well advanced in years. The angel answered and said to him, I'm Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. Behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place. Time. The people waited for Zacharias, marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them. And they perceived that he'd seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. And so it was, as soon as the days of his service were completed, that he departed to his own house. Now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived. And she hid herself 5 months, saying, thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. Exciting story. He's serving the Lord in the as a priest. It's his 2 weeks to serve the Lord. And they would cast lots. They would determine who is going to burn incense today. It was a very real honor because twice a day they would burn incense in the morning, in the evening. The people would be gathered outside. They would be praying. And it was a great honor for the priest to burn incense. This was his opportunity. In fact, they say that it usually only happened to a priest once in his lifetime that he had this privilege. He would go into the holy place, move the curtains aside, and go into the first room of the temple. In it, there was a table with 12 loaves of bread on it, representing the 12 tribes of Israel. There was the golden lampstand, the beautiful golden lampstand made out of solid gold with the lamps burning in there. And then there was the golden altar of incense. And this was right before that heavy veil that separated the innermost holy place from the outer place. The Holy of Holies was there, where the Ark of the Covenant was. And into that, no priest entered except the high priest, and only one day a year. But every day, a priest would enter into this first room, the holy place. And he would stand there before the altar of incense, and they would put the incense upon the coals of fire taken from the altar, and the fragrant incense smoke would go up before God. Picturing the prayers going up, and all the people would be standing outside praying and waiting for the priest to come out. So while he's in there, and the people are outside praying, the regular routine was interrupted. God sent an angel. And Zacharias suddenly is aware, here's this heavenly messenger standing by the side of the altar, and it says he was troubled. Fear fell on him. He'd never seen an angel before. He recognized this is a heavenly messenger. And angels often look like, somewhat like men, and yet there was a special air about them. oftentimes, many times perhaps a shining light. And he recognized here, this is not just a man, this is an angel of the Lord. And the angel begins to speak to him. He says, now don't be afraid. Your prayer is heard. You've been praying, Zacharias, for years and years and years. You've longed to have a child. You and Elizabeth, I don't know how many years they'd been married, but they'd wanted to have children. Praying, oh God, give us a child, give us a child. We so want to have a child. The years had come and gone, no child. Now they'd really given up hope. Because she's an older woman. She's past the time when women can have children. He's an old man. And the angel comes to him and says, your wife is going to bear you a son. You're going to have a son. You're going to call his name John. And this boy is going to be a very, very special boy. It's wonderful to have a son, but this son is going to be one marked in a special way for the service of God. You're going to rejoice. You're going to be happy because you have a son. This son is going to be great in the sight of the Lord. He's not going to drink wine or a strong drink. He's going to be in a very special way set apart for God and for serving God. And his service is going to be unique. He says he's going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. God's power is going to be upon him in a special way. This boy you're going to have. And he's going to turn many of the children of Israel to God. He's going to be a prophet. He's going to preach. And when he preaches, there are going to be people that are going to turn to the Lord. That's going to be your son, John. And it says he's going to have the spirit of Elijah. And Elijah was a powerful prophet, preaching with tremendous power and turning the children of Israel away from idolatry back to the Lord. He says he's going to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. He's going to be the forerunner, the one who's going to come before the Messiah himself. And so this boy you're going to have is going to be very, very, very special. Now, Zacharias says, well, wait a minute. I'm an old man. My wife is an old woman. And how can this be? You know, we've given up hopes of having children. You say we're going to have a son, and this son is going to be unique. He's going to be a great prophet, a great man of God. How can this be? I just don't understand how that can be. And the angel says to him, listen, I'm Gabriel. I come with all the authority of the living God. I brought you this message. You ought to believe it. But since you have some questions, I'm going to give you a sign. You're not going to speak another word till the baby's born. And immediately he became mute. He couldn't speak. Some think he also became deaf. But he was certainly mute. He couldn't speak. He said nothing. He must have stood there for a while. The angel left. Must have stood there for a while, overcome, you know, with what he'd seen. And finally he went out. The people were getting nervous. They were saying, well, why is he in there so long? He should come out and bless us, and then we'd go away with the time of prayer is over. And when he came out, he couldn't speak. He was making motions. I don't know just what he did, but he tried to indicate to them, I've had a vision from God, and I can't speak. I've been in the very presence of the messenger of God. So that the people realized that he had this vision. Now, when the days of his service, his 2 weeks were over, he went home. And his wife conceived. Elizabeth, in her old age, conceived. And was almost, I think, overcome with the realization, I am going to have a baby in my old age. I don't know how old exactly she was, but she was past the time when women expected to have children. It's an amazing thing. Now, we had a daughter who had her first child at 43. And really, we'd given up hopes of her ever having children. They wanted to have children for years. Never had children. At 43, she had a baby girl. Beautiful baby girl. And I'm sure Elizabeth was older than that. They'd given up hope. And here now, she is pregnant. And there's this expectation. And there's this realization. In a very special way, this child is going to be a prophet of God. Going to be the forerunner. The one who's going to go before the Messiah and prepare the people for Him. So that he's going to be a unique person. And what an amazing thing it was. Now, the message that I would like to encourage us to consider from this event is the angel basically says, will you believe what God has to say? Now, this message seems, too good to be true. But will you believe it? Will you believe God? Will you believe the message of God? And Zechariah had problems with it there at first. In time, he came to believe wholeheartedly. But he had some trouble there believing at first. And the first thing that God wants us to do, really, as we hear the message of God, the first thing that he would say to us is, believe the Word of God. Believe the message of God. If you don't know the Lord, you have to start here. You have to come to the point where you're willing to say, I will believe what God has to say. This book is God's book. This book has a message from God for us. And this book tells us things that you won't learn elsewhere in the world. Some of the things are painful. This book tells us, first of all, we're sinners. This book tells us, first of all, that we're not pleasing God. It's like a mirror. And it can be very painful sometimes to look in a mirror. As the years pass and you see the wrinkles come and so forth, and you realize I'm aging, sometimes you don't particularly like to look in the mirror. The Bible, it says, is like a mirror, and it shows us what we are. It shows us our sin, shows us our weakness, shows us our failure. And then it tells us that God loves you. In spite of your weakness, in spite of your failure, God loves you. God cares for you. God is deeply interested in you. That was part of the message here to Zechariah and Elizabeth. They cried out to the Lord for a baby for years and years and years. Surely as the messenger comes to them, they realize God cares for us. God is interested in us. God knows about us. He knows we're old and He knows all about us. Our God is a God who knows us and cares. Amazing when we think about it. For everyone here today, you know, I can say to you, God loves you. God cares for you. God has a tremendous interest in you. He knows, Jesus said, even the number of hairs on your head. What amazing. And here, Zechariah, I think, is overcome with this fact. God is interested in me. He sent an angel to talk to me. And he's got this tremendous message for me. And Zechariah was asked, now you believe it. You believe the message of God for you. So that's the first thing that I think the Lord would have us do as we think of coming to know Him. We have to believe what He has to say. Now we're going to read on. There's the same angel now is sent to another house, another family, another place. And in verse 26 it says, in the sixth month, now that means the sixth month after she's become pregnant. She's 6 months along, Elizabeth is. She's carrying John 6 months. It says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I do not know a man? In other words, she's saying, I haven't had sexual relationships. I'm not married. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who is called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Mary. The name Mary is more commonly used, they say, than any other name. Lots of girls are named Mary, or Marie, or Maria. Mary. This beautiful young woman. We don't know how old she was. Maybe her late teens, but she was young. She was an engaged woman, engaged to Joseph, who was probably quite a bit older than she was, maybe 12 years older. We don't know how much older. She's waiting to be married. She's just going about her regular routine. Some thought maybe she had this angelic messenger meet her by the well. Because the women would go down. The town of Nazareth is built up on the hills around this little valley. And down at the bottom of the valley, there's a well. It's still called Mary's Well. But the women would go down from their houses up on the side of the hill, go down the streets, down to the well, and get the water and carry it up. And the well today is still called Mary's Well. And here it says that while she at least is in this city, in the town, and she's busy going about her various duties, suddenly an angel comes and appears to her. She's full of fear. This is a supernatural being. God is speaking to me. And perhaps the first thought is, maybe God's angry with me. What's he going to say? Well, have I done something wrong, or is this a message of judgment, or what is it? But the angel immediately quiets her down. He says, now listen, Mary, don't be afraid. I want you to be happy. The Lord is with you. You are blessed among women. You are highly favored. And you know, while we don't worship Mary, we don't venerate her as if she's God, we deeply respect her because she was a wonderful woman. She was a woman who was a pure woman, says she was a virgin. She was a godly woman. And she's one here who is favored of God. The angel said to her, don't be afraid, you have found favor with God. Out of all the women here, all these women who are of the line of David, you are the one that God has chosen in a special way here, and you have found favor with God. What a privilege. You know, it must have just, this girl standing there, you can just imagine her thoughts were so confused. What is he saying? What's this all mean? What's going to happen to me? What's involved in this? And the angel goes on to say, listen, you're going to become pregnant. You're going to conceive. You're going to bring forth a son. You're going to call his name Jesus. He says these tremendous things about this one. He's going to be great. He's going to be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. Imagine, here's this young girl engaged to be married, and she's told, now you're going to become pregnant. And this boy you're going to have is going to be a great king. And his kingdom's never going to end. And he's going to be greatly blessed of God and he's going to be called the Son of the Highest. He's going to be the Son of God, Son of Man, and Son of God. So that it's a tremendous thing that is being told to her, and she must have just, her mind must have just reeled as she thought, what is he saying to me, and what's involved in this? And then right away she said, well, wait a minute, I'm not even married. And I've not had sexual relations with any man. And you're telling me I'm going to become pregnant. How's this going to happen? Is it going to happen after I get married? What's going to happen? And the angel says to her, listen, this is going to be a supernatural conception. God's power is going to come upon you. It's not going to be through a man. This is going to be the power of God, so that this one who's going to be born in you is going to be a holy one, called the Son of God, the virgin birth. And he says, now, you're having trouble believing this, aren't you? And I'm sure she was. He said, wait a minute. Elizabeth now, your relative, you know, they used to say she can't have children. It's too old. She's too old. The time of childbearing is past. She is 6 months along with a pregnancy. And the angel said to her, listen, with God, nothing's impossible. And don't question but what you can become pregnant and bear a child, a son. With God, nothing will be impossible. And so Mary says, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, the handmaid of the Lord, I'm willing, whatever you wish. I'm willing to receive the Christ. I'm willing to receive the Son of God. Now, the message that I like to think of in connection with this, for us, is that we too should have a spirit like that of Mary, where we're willing to receive the Lord Jesus. This is really what she was asked to do. As a girl here, she's asked, will you take the Son of God into your body? And she, in effect, embraced the Son of God with her body. She knew what it was, as the baby grew and developed, she knew what it was to feel movement within. I can remember when we had children, my wife would sometimes say to me, I felt movement today for the first time. And then later on, to feel the kicks and to feel the energy and the life within. What an amazing thing for Mary to be carrying this baby and to feel its movement and to feel its life and to realize this is the Son of God. Her body had taken in the very Son of God. Now, she had a unique experience in that, but really, in a sense, everyone who becomes a Christian opens up to take in the Son of God. We receive Christ. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the sons of God. I remember when I became a believer, I heard the message. I heard about the Lord Jesus. I heard about his death for me. I heard I was a sinner, and I realized I had a choice to make. Would I reject him, or would I accept him? And I remember that afternoon just saying, praying a very simple prayer and saying, Lord, I want to accept you. I want to receive you. I want to take you. And I received him that afternoon as my Lord and Savior. I took him into my life. And he became a part of my life. And that's really what we do. And, you know, Mary's life was never the same after this. Because she had opened up to receive Christ, and her life was never the same. Now, in a sense, she did this a number of times. She renewed that acceptance of Christ. There was a time when he was born. And when she held her firstborn son in her arms, and she received him then. She accepted him. She nursed him. And he was a part of her life. She cared for him. Her life centered around her son. And really, this is what the Lord asks us to do. He asks us to receive Him, as many as received Him. Becoming a Christian isn't just agreeing with something intellectually. You can do that and it not be a part of your life. But it's a very different thing when you open up to the Lord Jesus and you say, Lord Jesus, I believe You love me. I believe You died for me. I want to take You into my life. I want to receive You and follow You. And Mary did that. She accepted Him. She took Him into her life. I'd like to ask you the question today. Have you ever done that? Has there ever been a time in your life when you just opened up and your heart to the Lord? And as the hymn says, come into my heart, come into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. You accepted Him. You made Him your Lord and Savior. Mary did that. And she's a beautiful, beautiful person who simply said, I want to be open. I'm willing to accept Christ and to become His mother. Now, I want to turn back to Matthew 1 for one other appearance of an angel. And see what the angel had to say this time. Matthew 1 and verse 18. It says, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After His mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, in other words, when they became engaged, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. Now you can understand his position. He's engaged. And he's looking forward to the time when he'll be married, when he'll begin to live together as man and wife, when they'll start a family and just have a normal relationship. And yet he discovers, and we don't know just how he did this, if she came to him and she told him, listen, I'm pregnant, but at any rate, he became very aware of the fact this girl that I'm to marry is pregnant by someone beside myself. What a tremendous jolt. You know, I think of what I would have felt if when my wife and I were engaged, I discovered she was pregnant by someone else. I mean, how devastating when here you've trusted someone, you've committed yourself to someone, and they betrayed you. And he was a very distraught, upset man. And he didn't know what to do. He said, it says here that he was a just man. In other words, he couldn't overlook it. He couldn't say, well, it doesn't matter anyway. You know, everybody makes a few mistakes, and so she's pregnant, and it doesn't matter. He was just. He said, this is wrong. I wanted to marry a woman that was a virgin, and she'd be mine. I don't share her with any other man. And yet he was a compassionate man. It says he didn't want to make a public show, but he didn't want to humiliate her. He didn't want to disgrace her publicly. He thinks, I'll just break it off quietly because I don't want to hurt Mary. But he was a hurting man. I can just imagine he lay awake at night and there must have been tears and he was very upset and he didn't know what to do. He'd made a commitment and yet somehow he felt very betrayed and very hurt. Now it says, while he thought about these things, and he must have done a lot of thinking and very upset, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She'll bring forth a son, and you'll call his name Jesus. He will save his people from their sins. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. And Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, did not know her till she brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. We don't hear too much about Joseph, but he was a wonderful man. The angel comes to him and says, listen, put your mind at rest, Joseph. Don't just keep tearing yourself apart with thoughts of Mary's unfaithfulness. And don't be angry with her. Don't be bitter with her. Don't reject her. This is of God. She hasn't sinned. She has done what God has wanted. She's given herself to God. And in a very special way, she's doing the will of God like no other woman ever has done. And don't be worried. Don't be upset. Take her to be your wife. This is a conception of the Holy Spirit. Amazing. She's going to bring forth a son. And you're going to, as the father, as a stepfather here in this case, you're going to take the leadership and you're going to say his name is going to be Jesus. Jehovah is salvation. The Lord is salvation. His name is Jesus. Because he's going to save his people from their sins. This is the Savior of the world. And Joseph, you're going to have the tremendous privilege of acting like a father to this one who's the Savior of the world. I wonder, it doesn't tell us a lot about Joseph's thinking after that, or about the boy Jesus as he grew up. Luke's the only one that tells us a little something about him when he was 12 years old. Most of the time, we just don't know anything much about him except he grew in stature and in physically. He grew in wisdom and knowledge. He developed, and yet he was so different from any other child. And Joseph was the stepfather. And Joseph was the one who taught him his trade. Jesus learned to be a carpenter from his stepfather. What a tremendous privilege Joseph had. Now, the thing that stands out to me about Joseph is that he was obedient. It says he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. Did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He just believed and he obeyed. He didn't question. He didn't argue. He didn't say, now, wait a minute, this can't be true. You just don't have children unless a man and a woman are involved. And if she's pregnant, there's a man involved and I can't marry her. He didn't argue. He didn't wasn't upset or anything like this. He just accepted it in simple faith. He went ahead, he married her, and in due time the baby was born. He did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife. God prizes obedience. And I think it's wonderful when you see a person who accepts the Lord, who then you see them become just concerned to obey. I want to do what the Lord wants me to do. You see what the Lord wants. Maybe it's the act of baptism. A person has never been baptized as a Christian. And he sees it from the Scripture. And the person says, well, I want to be baptized. I remember once having a Bible study and a man who'd accepted the Lord really understood and saw the truth of baptism that night. His name was Jeff, and Jeff said to me after the Bible study, he said, I want to be baptized. I said, when? He said, tonight. I don't want to wait. And so we went out to a lake, and he was baptized that night outside of Ponca City in a lake in Oklahoma. He saw the truth, and he said, I want to obey. This was Joseph's attitude. It says, woke up from his sleep. He had this vision of a dream, of an angel in this dream. And he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took Mary to be his wife. Beautiful obedience. So you see in these different incidents, Zacharias is called on to believe. He had trouble believing at first. And the angel says, okay, you're going to have an additional sign. Since you won't believe me, just my word, you won't say a word until that baby's born. And so he walked out of the temple. He couldn't say a word. People looked on. They realized he's had a vision. He's had an encounter with God. And the call was to him, you believe. Believe what God says. Don't argue. Don't question. Believe. And certainly the message to Mary was, listen, God wants to use you, wants to use your body to bring the baby Jesus into the world. Are you willing to receive Christ? Are you willing to accept Him? Are you willing to take Him? And she took Him literally, physically into her body. We as Christians accept Him into our hearts and lives. Have you done that? This time of the year, can you say, yes, I have opened my heart, I've opened my life to the Lord, and I've said, Lord Jesus, I believe you love me, I believe you died for me, I want to receive you, I want to take you into my life. That's the beginning of spiritual life. And then may the Lord help us to be like Joseph, who, just in a wonderful way, obeyed. The Lord said to him, go ahead, marry her. Don't doubt, don't question, just obey, do what you're told. And says Joseph got up and he married her. It's wonderful to see that spirit of obedience to the Lord. And when you become a follower of Him, then you want to obey. You want to do what He says. You show your faith by this desire. Now I want to please Him. I've come to trust Him. I know I'm saved. Now I want to do what He says. And it's great to see that spirit of obedience. The change in the life. The change of the direction of your life. So may the Lord help us. Probably none of us are going to have an angel actually come and visit us. If we did, I'm sure we'd be afraid too. But we can learn from these appearances of the angels to these long ago, 2,000 years ago, and the way they responded.